He says some things here that are a little bit off the beaten track. Hanoistim el hamesim ba'ad ha'chayim. It's not clear how to translate these words, but it appears to mean this, that we in this world do things for the living. We do chesed, we do give tzedakah, we give benefit to another person, and we do it with a kavana that it should be on behalf of the dead. Tzrichim lehoidia kidei sheyispalu al hamesim. It's necessary to make it known that someone died. I think what he means over here is tzrichim lehoidia. Seems like the person needs to know that someone died in order that they should do things. They should encourage themselves. They should be encouraged to do things as a zechus for the dead. Kidei sheyispalu al hamesim. Shari Moshe Hispal al Atzmois Yehuda. Now he brings some very important sources. You know, if not for the Pesukim in the Torah, there are some very basic principles in Yadus that we would never ever know. We always say over is that how do you know there is an Inyan to go to a kever, to a grave? Why in the world is it a Jewish thing for a person to visit a cemetery? What's the purpose? The person died, he's not in this world. It's just bones. It's just decomposed flesh. Why in the world should there be such a thing that it should be necessary to go to a kever? So there are two mamori chazal, b'chol ha-Torah kula, that indicate that there is an advantage to going to a grave. Number one, pasuk Yosef, the pasuk of Yaakov and Yosef. Yaakov says to Yosef, I buried your mother, b'od kivras eretz levo yefrasa. I know you have complaints against me. You read the Pesuk in Parashas Vayechi, but I did it al pi ruach HaKodesh. You have to read the Mamar Chazal. Rashi, it says, because the day is going to come when there's going to be a Churban, they're going to pass in that area, and they're going to fall on the kever of Rachel Imenu, and only because they will daven at her kever, Yesofar lepulosei chomar Hashem, v'shavu banim ligvulon. So it's a pasuk. Now it's not an explicit pasuk, but it's pretty close. It's almost explicit, if not 100% explicit. Together with Chazal, that Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef, I buried your mother in a precise location because I want her children, I want you and your children, the children, to daven at her burial spot. And the second Chazal is Vayavohu at Chevron. Kalev went, when they came into Eretz Yisrael as the Meraglim, he went to Chevron. And Chazal tell us why he went to daven at Kivrei Ovos in order to be spared from the Atzas Meraglim.
Are you davening to the Hashem or are you davening to
Hashem? That's the big topic of discussion. The Pashto says you're davening to Hashem. You're davening to Hashem in the Zuchus of the Neshama. Or you're davening to Hashem and you're asking the Neshama to help you, that the Neshama should also daven. So obviously the fact that the Torah tells us to daven by a kever, the neshama is there to some degree. That's exactly what we learn. You're right.
Moritz talks about the first year, maybe that's about
no,
it.
So saying, I'm telling you to go daven by a kever, it's more than the first year. Because the only two mekoros to daven by a kever are Chevron, by Kolev, and Yaakov, and Yosef. If not for these psukim, then it would be very likely there would be no such thing in Jewish tradition for a Jew to go to a cemetery. Why? It's hocus pocus. The person died. It's like doyresh el hamesim. It almost borders on what the Torah says. Don't be doyresh el hamesim. Even when we do go to a cemetery, we have to figure out what exactly are we doing. We're davening to Hashem. So why do you need to go to a cemetery to daven to Hashem? Stay home. Daven at home to Hashem.
You're in a different mood when you're on
a cemetery. So what is it? So that's the whole thing for a mood? You're in a different frame of mind.
But it makes your prayer that much more...
Why? Because of the mood? Because of the mood?
It's the grace of God go on right now.
It has to be more that the neshama somehow has an effect on your prayer. It has to be. Otherwise, if it's only because of mood, it's not mistaver that we would go to a cemetery. It has to be that going to a cemetery, when you come in contact with those bones, and those bones somehow carry within them, I don't know, no one knows what this means, the neshama.
They help you.
Whatever it means, it means. There are different approaches, and the person has to be careful. You're not davening to the dead, that's for sure. Now, that's for sure. Now, you're not davening to the dead. The dead can't do anything for you. You're davening to Hashem, and either you're saying in the zuchus of the dead, of the good, their good deeds, in their merit, Hashem, please help me. Or the dead in Shemayim, in the parallel world, is praying together with you. So you need to link up. Listen, we don't know how these things work, but we have emunah, and the only reason why we have emunah is because we have this mesorah. Now he goes on and he says more. He comes to even give more elaboration to this principle that what a person does in this world for the dead has an effect. What we do pretty much is we go for ourselves. We need help. We don't really care much about the dead. We think in our minds, mistakenly, that the dead are in a very good place. They're in a better place, and everything is fine and good, and it's all wonderful, and we only look at the dead as what can the dead do for us. We very rarely look at the dead and say to ourselves, the dead are in a lot of trouble and they need our help and we should do something for them. And even if a person will humble himself to acknowledge that that may be true, it doesn't usually last more than 12 months until the first yard site. Once you get past the first yard site, it's over. Ah, the neshama is now in a state of menucha and is not in any agitation, any agmas nefesh. Mm. And now it's time for us to reap the benefits of that neshama.
It says R.I.P., rest in peace. It's not true.
It's not. No. It's not true. Exactly. At least not according to Sefer Hasidim. Now look what he says over here. It says over here, and he brings sources, psukim. He says, when a neshama dies, don't be so selfish, and always go to the kever to daven. What can the neshama do for you? When you go to the kever, daven to Hashem to have rachmanis on this poor soul that is tormented in the other world, because this soul has done averos, or this soul could have done more in this world. And he gives examples. Hanoisnim elachayim bat hamesim. Just from the fact, Jewish tradition, that the living are always doing things in order for the ilui of the neshama. We learn in their merit. We say kaddish in their merit. We give tzedak in their merit. Tzrichim lohidia. And he goes further. I'm not sure I'm translating the words correctly. Is that a person, there is a very important need for people to know that somebody died. He has a very delicate balance. When should you tell a person that someone died, and when you should not tell a person that someone died? We don't want to make it known that someone died. It's bad news. It's not a good thing to spread bad news. And especially if the person who knows is not going to do, it's not going to do anything. But if the person knows, if you inform a person that someone died, and that will result in that living person exerting himself to do mitzvahs and to do things for the tikkun and for the elevation of the neshama that died, it's critical to let the person know that someone died. Because if the person knows that his relative died, he'll say kaddish, he'll learn mishnayos, he'll behave a little better, at least for a few minutes. And that will be a zuchus. So the fact that meistim elachayim b'yad meistim and tzrichim lohidia, we have to make it known, Kadesha Yispalilu al Hamesim. Pray for the dead. And he brings a proof. What's the proof? Shaharei Moshe Hispalil al Atzmos Yehuda. The two examples that I cited of Yaakov and Yosef and Rachel and Yaakov and Yosef Benugei Rachel and the Ovos regarding Kolev were examples where the people on this world prayed at the Kvarim for their own benefit. Kalev went to the cemetery to pray that he should be spared from the influence of the Meraglim. It was a selfish act.
But
he wasn't praying for the dead. He was praying for himself. When Klal Yisrael went into Golus and they passed the Kever of Rachel Imenu, who were they praying for? For Rachel? They were praying for themselves. That we should survive, that there should be a rebirth, there should be a bayis shlishi. They weren't praying for Rachel. How do you know that there is an inyan to go to the cemetery to pray for the dead? that the dead should have menucha, the dead should rest in peace. Moshe prayed for the bones of Yehuda. Shema Hashem kol Yehuda v'el amo tivienu yodov rov lo v'ezer mitzarav tiyah. Elaborate Gemara that Yehuda's neshama was denied entrance into the yeshiva shalmaila because he was on his watch mechiras Yosef. Yehuda, can you imagine the holy Yehuda Malchus? The whole Malchus of Klai Yisrael comes from Yehuda. And Yehuda himself in Shemayim is nowhere. Is the middle of nowhere. He's not learning. He's not davening. He's outside of the yeshiva Shalmaila in a state of Agmas Nefesh. And Moshe Rabbeinu has to come and daven to Hashem. Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, have rachmanis. Let this poor soul get into yeshiva. You think it's only hard to get into yeshiva in this world? They have all these articles that today they don't know anyone to take all the kids in yeshiva. There are not enough yeshivas. In Lakewood, they're fighting to get into yeshivas. They're fighting to get into yeshivas in Lakewood. Everyone is an exclusive yeshiva. And when the new year starts, every year it's fireworks. It's World War III. There's a whole collection of people that no one wants to take into the yeshiva, boys and girls. And if you read the papers and follow what's going on, it's La Yehudim until all the dust settles and everyone quiets down and everyone's somehow in a yeshiva. You think it's only in this world? In the yeshiva Shalmaila, no one wants Yehuda. Yehuda is not allowed into any yeshiva. Yeah, all the way. So how many years is that? That's hundreds of years. Hundreds of years, right? Hundreds of years. Yehuda was sitting out in Lakewood. Like, how long does the whole scandal go every year? Every year, it goes on like for 2-3 weeks. They make a gezerah. All yeshivas are closed until every single child is accepted into a yeshiva. It goes on for 2-3 weeks. After Sukkot, you don't hear about this anymore. Hopefully.
A rule that they have a certain date that all the girls, I know about the boys, are accepted. You know, my granddaughter is accepted to the yeshiva, and they have to make sure everyone's accepted somewhere before they resolve it, before they notify everyone.
Exactly. So by the time Sukkot comes, it's already resolved. I assume, right? Yehuda was not taken into a yeshiva for hundreds of years. And who had to call up? So today, I don't know what happened. Today, if Chaim Kanievsky would get on the phone and call up a yeshiva in Lakewood and would say, listen, you have here this child. I'm calling you from Eretz Yisrael to ask you to please take the child into the yeshiva. I know you have no room and you have no money. Figure it out. Just figure it out. Have a class in the hallway.
No, they show. What happens if there aren't enough seats? That's the question.
You know, they really aren't. I saw pictures. They show, you know, the yeshivas get a very bad name. The yeshivas are cursed out from top to bottom. So then the yeshivas really have a very good defense. They showed a classroom. They showed a picture of a real classroom. You wouldn't believe it. You would not believe what the classroom looks like. There's literally no way to stand. They don't have the facilities. They don't have the money. It's not the guilty party is not necessarily the yeshivas. They're not always guilty. What would happen if Chaim Kanievsky would call up from Eretz Yisrael to Yeshiva and say, I know you have this kid, no one wants him. I'm calling you to beg you, please take him in. And by the way, this call is on conference call. The whole world is listening. It's being recorded and it's being played on all of the Jewish websites live. So what is the principal going to do? He has no choice, right? Who knows? He might say, Chaim Kanievsky, sorry, there's no room even for you. Even if you would want to come, I can't take you in. I don't know what he would say. But Moshe Rabbeinu himself had to beg Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, have rachmanis on this poor guy, this poor neshama Yehuda. So Hashem takes him in. So just because he got in, it was good. None of the Rabbeim wanted to talk to him. V'yelamo tivienu. The Talmidim, the Chaverim didn't want to talk to him. Yodov Ravloi. But then, even when he would say something, they had no respect for him. The Ezer Mitzarav Tiyah. It was a very long, painful process for Moshe Rabbeinu to not just get Yehuda into a yeshiva, but that the Rebbeim should learn with him, and the Chaverim should talk to him, and he should be able also to thrive and to blossom in the yeshiva. The Gemara goes through all of the various steps. It's all Rashi. It's Rashi and Chumash. Rashi Chumash, what it means to get someone into a yeshiva and for the child to have success. This goes even for no one great, none other than Yehuda. David HaMelech comes from Yehuda. Would David have a hard time getting into a yeshiva? Yeah, if David HaMelech have a hard time getting into yeshiva, well, the Zayda, Yehuda couldn't get into yeshiva in Shemayim. If not for Moshe Rabbeinu, multiple visits and tefillos to normalize the situation for him to get into yeshiva. So what do we see? We're too short on time. When we finish, maybe you get this question. So Ispal al Atvos Yehuda Shnemar Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. So therefore, what do you see? That the dead need a lot of help. The dead are pathetic. Think we're pathetic in this world. You think we're pathetic in this world? It's a very sad situation. Page Reshut Beis. V'yachanem in achayim, tzarech l'spal aleim. Someone that's nenem in achayim, tzarech l'spal. Now, I'm saying another chiddush. If a person has hana from the living, in other words, if someone in this is an incredible chiddush. If someone does you a favor, you owe them big time. Someone does you a simple favor, you're a slave to them. You have to pray for them for their success. Shenemar v'yiti loy mizahav shiva. The Yispal Ba'adoy Tamim Kol Ayom, David over there, he writes that David was Mispal. I don't know the exact, I didn't look it up, the whole story, but David was Mispal for a person that did him a toiva. This we know, Uchsev Eshacha B'Salmosoy Uvei Richeko. This refers to the Almana, a pledge. If you give someone a pledge, you borrow money. If you borrow money and they give you, and you give in exchange a pledge, the person should give you back that pledge when you need it. If I borrow money and in exchange I give you my blanket for the night, and it's a cold night, so the person who lent me the money has a mitzvah to give me back my blanket at night so I don't freeze to death. Is he obligated really to give me back that blanket? No, because I borrowed money. And the rules are, when you borrow money, you give collateral. I borrowed $100, I gave you my blanket. You have no obligation to give me back the blanket on a cold winter night. Until I pay you back the $100, you have a right to hold on to it. But the Torah says, have rachmanis. It's true, he owes you $100. But it's still his blanket. So if it's a cold, bitter night, give him back the blanket so he won't freeze to death.
Well, the next word is
and you're not obligated to do so. So what? It'll be a tzedakah. So give, do him a favor. And then what does it say? The person who got the blanket back has to acknowledge, I got it. Someone did for me a favor. And because someone did for me something that I truly do not deserve, it's now my duty to reciprocate and to daven for you. Uvei richeko, I have to pray for your welfare. It's an incredible limud ha-musar. Look at the chasadim that are going back and forth. A person is poor. There's no greater chesed you can do than to lend someone money. Because the person at least has dignity. He doesn't feel like a pauper that he has to go and take a handout. Let me borrow money. I borrow $100. I have to give collateral. Okay, so I give you a blanket. Until I give you back the money, you have no obligation to return me. Now it's a cold night. You give me back my blanket so I can sleep well. That is an act of kindness. So the Balabayis has done already two acts of kindness. Number one, he lent me money. Number two, he gave me back the collateral when I need it. That's a chesed on top of a chesed. And what does the Torah say to the borrower? You know, this man did you a very big toiva. You have an obligation to reciprocate. How do you reciprocate? Bless him. And bless him here means you should daven for him. From this we learn, according to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, whenever a person does you an act of kindness, you owe him. You're indebted to him. To do what? the very least, to daven for that person. So you get ready, he sees over the living you have to daven for, the dead you have to daven for, if certainly they've been good to you, and the living you have to daven for. Im lo berchuni chalotzav, v'al shekvar, then he quotes another, v'oimer, a third pasuk is, the im lo berchuni chalotzav, his descendants. Okay, I do not know the context of that pasuk. I did not look it up, but it's referring also to teach a lesson where you have an obligation to bless a person who did you a toiva. Now he goes back to the topic of conversation. Now, this is something shocking we're about to read. We never heard this before. The al shakvar meisu kvar over yud beis chodesh tzorich lespalel alayhem b'chol chodesh v'chodesh. No one ever heard this before. And actually, we learned this not that long ago. This is the Rabbi Yehuda ha-chosid l'shitosoi. Rabbi Yehuda Chosid said that after 12 months, the Dino Koshe is over. In heaven, there are two judgments. There is a harsh judgment and a light judgment. The harsh judgment endures for 12 months. And that's when a person says Kaddish, and that's when the child is in the state of Avelos in order to acknowledge that the neshama of his relative is in the matzav of pain, of din. After 12 months, there continues forever to be din, judgment, but it's called lightweight judgment, not heavy duty, lightweight. When does a person need to focus on that? Every Rosh Chodesh is a day of a reflection, for like a yiskar for one's relatives, to acknowledge that they are in a difficult situation and we need to pray for them. And that's possibly why we say the nusach of Rosh Chodesh is Ziman Kapara L'chol Tol Doisam. It's a time, the nusach begins Rosh Chodoshim Li'amecha Nosoto, Ziman Kapara, a time of atonement L'chol Tol Doisam, for all of their descendants. What does that mean, Tol Doisam? Now, there are many, many Perushim. Don't get me wrong, you'll open up a Siddur, but one of them, the Perushim, is the descendants of the dead. A person dies 50 years ago, and he has grandchildren, great-grandchildren. The descendants of the dead, it's now a time for them to pray that their ancestors should be for them kapara. It's a yom hadin, a day of judgment for their neshama, a light judgment.
But I thought after the first year.
So we said only dino kosher, the harsh. Exactly what we just said. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, we learned this a couple of weeks ago. L'shitas, and he actually quotes it on the parish on the side. He holds that there are two types of judgments for a neshama. There is dino kosher and dino rafia, a harsh judgment and a light judgment. The harsh judgment goes on for 12 months after death. When the 12 months are over, that period is over. But forever, there is a continuous judgment called a light judgment.
That's why you say the neshama should have an aliyah.
Well, you don't necessarily, does not necessarily mean kapara. It means
every year.
Right, that's a Kabbalist who says maybe the neshama is at peace, but we want him to go higher. He's saying it's a lot worse than that. He's saying that there's a judgment where he can be taken lower, where he can suffer. He can go to Gehenim. He can have suffering in the next world. Every Rosh Chodesh there is a judgment, and on that day, it's a light judgment, but it can result in this person suffering. So what should the children and the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren do? They should do things on that day. They should at least pray for their neshamos so that their neshamos should have atonement and should not suffer. Roshei Chodoshim La'amecha Nosota. You've given your nation Roshei Chodoshim. What is Rosh Chodesh? It's a Zman Kapara. It's a time, you have to translate the words loosely, it's a time for the descendants to reflect that our ancestors need atonement. Zman Kapara, for whom? Who should reflect upon this principle that there is a need for neshamos in the other world to have atonement? L'chol, for all of the living, toledosam, the descendants of the dead. It's for us to go get our act together and reflect upon our ancestors and recognize they are in a lot of trouble today and they need us to help them. They need us to pull through and to pray for them that they should have atonement and they should be able to go further, go higher. Look what he says. The al shekvar mesu, those who already died, ukvar avru yud beis chodesh, tzarich lehispalel aleihem b'chol chodesh v'chodesh. Because he tells us something which we never heard before. Ki mehapchim eish shel gehenim. On every Rosh Chodesh in heaven, maybe here in this world we're having donuts and we're having bagels. On Rosh Chodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh, a good Chodesh, take a cheese Danish, come make a l'chaim, you're not allowed to fast. It's a day of celebration. In the Olam HaEmes, there's no celebration. It's a Yom HaDin. They're coming around, they're making rounds with the fires of Gehenim. Mahabchem eish shel Gehenim. Shenemar, this is the Haftorah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. V'hoya midei Chodesh b'chodshay, u'midei Shabbos b'shabbatay. Yovoy chol basar. And what's the next pasuk? Okay, don't stop there. The next pasuk in the Haftorah is, uchsev v'isham loy sichteh. The fires of Gehenim are not extinguished. Now we conveniently love to translate this pasuk in reference to the Rishoyim, to the Goyim, to our enemies, not to our grandfathers and grandmothers and relatives, relatives. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is saying something that today would not be accepted anywhere, that the pshat in the pasuk v'isham loy sichbe refers to our ancestors, people that in our eyes are tzaddikim gemurim, who are resting in peace in the olam ha'emes and are sitting by the pool sipping a pina colada. It's not what it says. It says you got it all wrong. On Rosh Chodesh, they are brought to Gehenim. And they're brought for a din, a light din, and it's for us to pray for them on Rosh Chodesh that they should be spared this light din. Harei b'chol chodesh v'chodesh mahapchem boy, they turn the fires of Gehenim upside down. V'lefnei yoyim toy v'shabbos v'acharav, and also before Yom Tov and Shabbos v'acharav and after. Oyson shaloshamu Shabbos v'yoyim toy v'kahoygen, those that did not observe Shabbos and Yom Tov. Whatever that means. And therefore, Roshei Chodoshim, La'amecho Nosoto, so that we should take advantage of this time and pray for our ancestors, that it should be a Zaman Kapara. Upon whom does this obligation fall? Upon L'chol, all of Toledoisam, the descendants of those people in the other world. Okay, it totally changes your frame of mind when you come to Rosh Chodesh. It's not such a joyous day. It's a day of reflection. Obviously, this is not something very popular, this approach. We don't want to hear this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Yehuda HaChassid...
There's no way to argue against this.
What?
There's no way to argue against
this. Okay, it's something that you have to take with a grain of salt. Not to get too worried about it. Yeah.
Is Samban going to get help from the neshama of Samban? As Moshe Rabbeinu Zechol Avraham Shav Yaakov, we are not going to decrease from his zechut and the credit that he had.
I have absolutely no idea how these things work. I have no clue how these things work. I don't even know what's doing on this table here. You think I know what's going on? How the mitzvah is chus? There's no one that knows these things. No one came back to tell us.
No, usually according to what you know, your knowledge is going to have.
Tachlis hayidia sheneida sheloi neida. The goal of knowledge is to know that you know nothing. And certainly, al achas kama v'kama ben b'nei shel kal v'chomer, when it comes to matters of judgment in shemayim in the olam haneshamas, it's hard enough to know what bracha you make on a cup of coffee. That itself is a very big. task to know if you make a bar in the fasha, if you make a shahakol. That itself is a, but to know what's going on in these worlds and how schar v'oinish applies to neshamos who left us and our duty, we have no clue. We do the best that we can do. You behave yourself, and you say kaddish on the yard side and you don't get into trouble. It should be a zuchus for the niftarim. You have emunah. What more can you possibly do? Okay, let's go to the next halacha.
It's something, and what we said, anotim elachaim be'adam etim. This shul, Samban, the father, passed away, and Samban donated $300,000 to renew this shul. And the name on the top of the shul is his name.
Correct.
It's Chaim Notim Lemetim.
Right, now you're touching upon something which is very true. This bothers me very much. It's in this totally a personal matter. How far do you go when you give tzedakah to publicize this was given l'zeich l'ilui nishma so-and-so? I personally get nauseated when I go into a shul and on the table there's a big plaque. This table, exactly. This table has been dedicated l'zeich l'ilui nishma so-and-so. And every little dot on the wall, every little thing that you can put a name on,
it's a fundraiser.
You're right. So there's got to be a balance. You have to appeal to a person's. How are you going to go and milk out a person to give money? Because if you don't, ain't kamach ain't Torah. So you got to think of something clever. And yeah, the way to a man's pocketbook is through covet. We know that. That's time you put someone's name on a building, he gives. We know that. You got to give a person honor. But there's got to be a point where it's just nauseating. Can't you do something in this world, l'shem shamayim? Person gives $1, you give $1. So for that $1, you have to have a big plaque. He gave $1 to tzedakah. Can there ever be something that you do something in this world, l'shem shamayim? There's a certain example going on now. I don't want to say it, but it's in front of all of your eyes. Someone has lately has done something in this community, it's in every single shul, and his name has to be right front and center. To me, it's like nauseating. It's how so someone says to me, you're wrong. Adarabba, when you make the bracha, you have to think about this person. It should be if you don't think about this person, so it's not going to work in Shemayim. You really know what goes on in Shemayim. You know that if you only think about the person and the name of the person, it gets to a point. I at least feel where it's really, really out of hand. And sometimes, yeah, there has to be a balance. You put a person's name on the building. There's a plaque, of course. Hakaras Hatoiv. But when the person himself makes such demands, or where a shul comes to a point where every little crazy little thing, and on a garter, you really have to put a person's name on a garter, on a sefer Torah. You have a sefer Torah, okay? You really have to have embroidered onto the garter who donated the garter. The embroidery on the garter to put the name costs more than the garter itself. The garter costs $10, and each letter costs $3. So when you go and you stitch the letters. Who donated the gartel, so you paid more money for the lettering on the gartel than the gartel itself. Is that a little extreme? Can't you do something that's just purely l'shem shemayim? And that's how I feel about it. I'm not having an argument. We're doing a project, so we have a logo for the organization that's sponsoring the project. So the person who's my boss, pretty much, he tells me it's not enough to put the logo on the back, very proudly, I have to put the logo on the front. So I try very proudly to say to him, no, I'm nauseated. It's enough. You have the logo on the back. It's very nice. Everyone will see it. What do you have to go? Put the logo on the front. On the front is the bracha. Let the person make the bracha without looking at the logo. What does everything have to be about the organization? Who cares about the organization? The organization's logo is on the back. It's more than enough. No. He insists that the logo has to be on the front as well. Not just small, big. Big. So who's right, who's wrong? I don't know. It's a matter of personal.
Ego.
It's not. I don't know if it's ego. He has a very. I don't think he's. He's a very good person. He has a different approach. A different mahalach in these inyanim. Each his own. So he's saying over here. A nice demarachayim. We do things in this world in honor of the dead. There's no question about it. And we do it in their zuchus and their merit. And we say today she's responsible zech and nishma so and so. And we put up plaques and banners. But every once in a while you get this sense, I think we're going a little too far here. Maybe there should be in this world something that we do l'shem shemayim. A little bit l'shem shemayim. Emein kemach, ein Torah. We know that. If you don't give kavod, you're not going to raise a penny. You're not going to be able to accomplish anything in this world. But it has to be oichet, a little bit l'shem shemayim. One of the milos of the Sima Shas of the Aguda this time around was, a very big complaint was made last 7.5 years ago by the Sima Shas. It was too commercialized. Much, much too commercial. Everything was sold. Now believe me, this Sima Shas, everything was talked, was also sold, even more money. But at least they took the criticism to heart. And if you notice, if you went to the Sima Shas, there were absolutely no sponsors on display anywhere during the entire Sima Shas. You know, they have this one of the there are many examples of how this came, but one of the main that was notable is they have in MetLife in all of the stadiums, any sports arena, they have a screen that goes around the entire arena. They have a screen, like a strip. A strip that goes around the entire every single stadium in the world. Right, they have it's fancy, it's very high tech. Color, it's like if I said really they could show videos on it also. It's not a big screen, but it's a strip that goes all the way around. So I remember the last Sima Shas. Throughout the entire there were messages, you know, different, but there were advertisements. Advertisements nonstop. I remember even what the advertisements were. I'm not gonna tell you. Advertisements nonstop throughout the entire Sima Shas. And that was just one example. There are other things that were commercialized. People said, you know, it's nauseating. Enough. We know in Kemach in Torah. We know that. We know that this guy's only speaking because he gave $5 million. We know. Everyone knows the corruption that goes on. Yeah, everyone knows. But you know, it gets to a point where you know, bo mayim ad nofesh, and they accepted the mussar, and this time there was probably even more money paid for other things, but. At the event itself, it was pretty clean. It was really clean. There were no advertisements. It was just pure, this is the event. There's a book, there are advertisements in the books, you know, you look in the books and there are other ways to make acknowledge who paid for everything. But, you know, you have to have a balance. So here he talks about this idea, Noisnim el hachayim ba'ar hanesim. On behalf of the dead. Does that mean you have to put your name on it and their name on it? We don't know how these things work in Shemayim, but it cannot be that in Shemayim, the makbid, that every single table has a big plaque and says, who donated this table? And every shelf, who donated this? It gets to a point of get nauseous of ad kedei kach. When you make a bracha, it's not necessary to see the name of a family who wants you to make this bracha. When you make a bracha, you make a bracha. It's very nice. Someone went and he paid to have this bracha on display for you for this bracha. It's nauseating to see your name there. Hashem's name is there, not your name. You don't want to go pay for it then? So you know what? Don't pay for it. My attitude is, you're only going to pay to put a bracha in front of my face only if I see your name, so I should know who you are, and it should be a zuchus for you and your family. You know something? I'm moichel you. Don't put the plaque up. I'll say the bracha the way I used to say the bracha without. It's Hashem. It's not about you. You want a zuchus? Good. Do a l'shem shemayim. I can't guarantee anything, but as far as I understand, you'll get the same zuchus in shemayim. If your name is not right in front of Hashem's name, You're competing with Ribbono Shel Olam. You're competing with him. You'll get the same suchus if your name is not, if your name is not next to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the guy that I work with, I tell him this. So he says to me, he said, you're right, but this is not a private person. This is an organization. And we want the people to go to the organization's website and go use the organization for we're not putting a private person's name, we're putting a logo of an organization which does incredible chesed and incredible good deeds, and people need to know about it, they need to use their services, they need to support their services. It's not a private person. Okay, so he has a point. But my point is, listen, in the back of the card, it says the organization. On the front of the card, it says Hashem's name. It's a bracha. Focus on Hashem's name. The other example is something very popular. It's a personal hergish. Other people obviously strongly disagree with me. And it's not the first time, but this Halacha Reish Mem Aleph triggers this emotion, and I cannot help myself but express it to you. We'll take a short break, and then we'll talk about doctors. Any doctors in the house? Verapo Yirape.
Why is it to put the name of the dead on this building? Yeah.